Some Christians, especially little kids, when they start confessing, they take it very seriously. And they are, many of them are afraid that the priest is not going to forgive them. There is a canonical rule. If a priest does not read absolution for any kind of sin, be it murder or whatever, major sin, if he does not read an absolution, he is defrocked. He must forgive. So I tell our children in our school, if ever priest tells you so, you tell him, Father, excuse me, but you have no right not to forgive me. So they get satisfied. However, there is one case when priest may not forgive. I had one case in my experience. A youth, about 18 I would say, came and very sincerely confessed all his sins, but immediately added, I'm going to continue. I like it. I said, then you have no forgiveness. I'll bless you, but no, this is not an absolution. And so he went, and of course I didn't let him take Holy Communion. But this is a rare case, once in about 60 years already, or 55 years. There is also another likeness of confession. Imagine there is a mother and a small child, 3 or 4. A mother always likes to dress them very clean in a nice dress, and child goes out to the sand or dirt and comes home absolutely dirty. What does mother do? She changes. And the kid is again clean. This is confession. Now, by telling you that, I've covered the basic contents of confession. But there are two more. One is about penances, and another about history of confession, how it came to existence. And still one more about general confession. It's all, I think, is essential. We must know that a penance is never punishment. It is a method to assist us not to sin. And it has been established by loving holy fathers and by ecumenical councils. So it's for our good, for our benefit. These are a few examples of penances. Murder, no communion until death. Adultery, 20 years. And it's interesting, if you are dying, say, after 10 years, and then you survived, you get your Holy Communion, yes, but then you start your penance all over from beginning, another 20 years. If somebody misses a Sunday liturgy without valid reason, 2 years no confession. St. John of Kronstadt used to repeat it often to his parishioners. If someone is not fasting Wednesdays and Fridays, except 5 weeks, there are 5 weeks which are through, 2 years no communion. If a woman is wearing pants, 3 years no confession. That's a canonical rule. It may be interesting to see where from it was taken. In chapter 22, fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy, and it is verse 5. This is what it says. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do it. It's so small types, I can hardly read. This is a whole Bible. So small, and so the type is terribly small. for all that do so, it is abomination unto the Lord. Abomination, this word is used only in the Bible, referring to major sins. Why is it so? I may explain to you. Because when a woman is doing that, not every man, but many men, when they see that, because they reveal all the forms and everything of their body, they get feeling almost as if they are totally naked. So why should we tempt others? And that's why in Old Testament, as well as in New Testament, as I said, 3 years with no confession, they forbid it. Now, unfortunately, this is so much spread that it is difficult to stop. We have some Orthodox children, and mother told me that it is real difficulty for my 14 years girl not to wear pants because they laugh at her in school. So it's real confession to confessing the faith to do that. Sometime in a street I meet some of our parishioners in pants. They have no place to run away. They have to meet me. They approach and take blessing. And I very softly tell them, you know, the rule says 3 years with no confession. So probably they learn that lesson. Now, let me explain something more important. Why penance is so beneficial? Here, I may seem to break the canonical rule not to talk about confession of others. A man about which I'm going to tell you has died since long time. Also, I'm not telling his name, and I'm not going to tell you his sins. When I was a very young priest, just ordained, I was 26. And someone came to me and told a sin that requires penance. I think I didn't mention to you that Metropolitan Anthony, in his book Confession, gives as an advice, priests, whenever you see 20 years, you decrease it 10 or even 20 times. But we do that, and quite a few now and then have no right to take Holy Communion for a whole year. Nobody knows about it, of course, but we have to do that. So there was a person for whom the minimum penance was 1 year, and I told him. And he said, me? 1 year? Never. You must give me Holy Communion. And argument started. We were bargaining quite a long time. And finally I said, okay, if you're insisting so much, let us make 6 months. I also told him, look here, as I became a priest, I gave an oath that I'm going to perform all the rules of the church and all the holy canons. So if I break them, it's no good, no benefit for me, nor to you. So you must do that. So he accepted that, and he left. Now, most interesting comes next. In 6 months, he came. I told him a certain specific feast, which was in 6 months. He came to me. And immediately, he said, you may think that I came to confess and take Holy Communion. Not at all. The thing is that when you give me 6 months, I was just rebellious. It was a great storm in my heart. And I was always repeating, me? To deserve such a punishment as he thought. Impossible. But, he said, slowly, gradually, I started thinking about my life. And by now, I'm totally convinced that you gave me a small penance. So my request, and this is why I came, to give me a real penance, at least several years. And I had a hard time to convince him to take Holy Communion. But this is not all. That was his spiritual rebirth. From that time on, he would never miss any church service. He was working there and assisting them, conducting choir and everything. It was in Serbia. Same story was with a youth about 17 years who told me the next story. He said, when I was 16, it was Pascha, and as is customary with the Russians, they prepare much food, feast food, all sorts of meat and everything, cakes, and they put it on a table because guests are coming to congratulate them with resurrection of Christ. So they offer them that food. So that boy said, I went to church slightly after midnight, so the service started. We are not allowed anything by mouth before midnight. But he said, after midnight, I was tempted and I took some of that food and went to church. And there my very pious father said, you must have Holy Communion. And he was ashamed to admit that he had that food. He had Holy Communion, confession, Holy Communion, but he didn't mention anything in confession. Now, about a year later, he decided to confess his mistake. He went to a priest whom I knew, a very, very loving old priest. And that loving old priest gave him penance, 12 prostrations for a year. And at first, the boy thought it is too much. But when he performed, he told that my respect toward Holy Communion became very, very great. And I felt how good it is to be humiliated. And I am so very grateful to that priest. I personally had about 10 or 15, better 15 cases when I had to give a penance. All with the same result. It is so great a method in our hands, and unfortunately we do not always use it, which is a mistake. Now, when a penance is given, then at that very moment, priest must read an absolution. So he is forgiven, and he may not be afraid even to die, but no communion for a certain period of time. Another and last remark about confession is when we left Russia, it was during White War. White Army was fighting Red Army. And Commander-in-Chief Wrangel, he was very wise, knowing that communists are 10 to 1, 10 times more. They cannot hold very much in Crimea. So he prepared all available ships, and they were 125. And on those ships he accepted 150,000 people. Many priests and bishops were there. One of the luxury ships called Great Grand Duke Alexander Mikhailovich. There was Metropolitan Anthony, other bishops, my father and me. My father organized so that all priests should be together. And there was a group of priests, probably about 40, maybe 50. And we had to live together more than a month, maybe 2 months, as we were expecting permission to go from Turkey to Bulgaria, Yugoslavia, to Orthodox countries. And so we had no work. And priests were sharing their experiences with each other. And it's very interesting that they say that most of sins that we hear on confession, we forget. It's a God's gift, and it also helps us to confess. Now, I'm through with first part. There are two more parts, and Now it is not yet 45 minutes. How long it is? But they are shorter. Why the gospel says so little about confession? Only two, three verses. And it puzzles us, such an important thing, and Jesus doesn't mention so much. Because confession was not established by our Lord Jesus Christ, but it was established by God through Moses. Where is it? Now, we read third book of Moses, Leviticus. And if you like to remember it, you should remember Numbers 3, 4, 5, that's all. So book 3, third book, Leviticus, chapter 5, verse 5. I'll read it. And if shall he, a man, he shall be, when he shall be guilty of one of these things, before that many sins are given, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that way. Here is confession. Another quotation. Next book, fourth book. That's Deuteronomy. Do I have it? Also, chapter 5 and verse 5. Excuse me, fourth is numbers. Here it is. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit, to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person is guilty, then they shall confess their sin which they have done. The Old Testament confession was different from the New Testament. Jesus Christ himself said that I came to the earth not to break the law, Old Testament, but to fulfill it. How to fulfill? Holy Fathers say that this word is better be replaced with the word fill it up. Correct it or make it more perfect. And therefore, Jesus Christ has added that sin will be forgiven for sure. In Old Testament, a priest was praying, but he didn't know whether God will or will not forgive. In New Testament, it's different. Also, confession in Old Testament was public. Even if a person was alone with priest, it says here that he must bring certain specific sacrifice for each sin. And so other people, seeing what kind of sacrifice he's bringing, they knew his sin. So it was more difficult. In Christian confession is secret. However, it became secret only 200 years after Christ, introduced by Saint John the Fasting, the Patriarch of Constantinople. Because Christians became not so very pious, and it created some temptation. And it was so easier, of course, to have it secret. So from that time on, we have it a secret confession. There are cases when general, so-called general confession is allowed. But those are exceptional cases. When we hear that OCA introduced general confession, you know how it is called? No confession. How can you confess remaining silent? No confession. no spiritual life, no assistance from God. It's terrible. But when Churchill, Roosevelt and Stalin decided to return all Russian prisoners of war to Russia, the Soviets took advantage of it, and they have taken all Russians, even who were not citizens of Soviets, who fled from Russia much before, millions of them. And they did it unexpectedly and suddenly. So what they have done? They immediately asked priests to serve the liturgy, and they all took Holy Communion, because they were declared enemies of the nation. If you are a prisoner of war, you are enemy of your country. And they were all sent even straight to death or to Siberia. Span of time that they can survive is from 4 months to 2 years. I always thought it is 2 years. Once there was a home for the old. Our neighbors, they built a new home. And the owner was a Jew and a rabbi. But he wants to be friends. He asked me, please, would you celebrate liturgy in my place? Because he wanted Russian patients. And first time he came with his general contractor, a big, 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 strong Jew who spoke Russian perfectly and who said to me, I was in Siberia with the Polish army. I said, I'm glad that you know how they treat those who are there. They don't survive after 2 years. He said, oh no, this is not true. Then I thought to myself, he was brainwashed. And he continued, because it is not 2 years, it is 4 months. And only strong people like myself do survive. So this is why they had general confession and communion. This is justified. Another case, when Father John of Kronstadt, he had 5,000 people every day. And he would start matins at 4 a.m. Then he would confess as much as he could, but just minor part of those 5,000. So he would start liturgy, and when it comes almost time of communion, he would deliver a small sermon about confession, and then he would say, confess, all of you. And the person who attended it told me that there was impossible noise. People were shouting that he should hear and were trying to overshout each other the worst sins. And he said, actually, my hair stood on my head. After some time of that kind of confession, Father John would raise his hand, complete silence would be, and he would read a prayer of absolution with his Petrohelion. But this is not all. Do you think that everyone confessed properly? I don't. Certainly, there could have been, and there were people who did not confess. They thought, oh, it's easy now, that confession, I get Holy Communion. But from time to time, when they were coming to him for Holy Communion, he would say, you go. Again, you go. And wouldn't give them Holy Communion. When he was asked why he does this, he said, I don't know exactly the reason, but from my long experience, I know that if a person didn't properly confess, the idea which comes to me, do not give him Holy Communion, is from God. If I didn't follow that idea, I was always wrong. And he was always right. Nobody complained because they knew. So he was a saint. He could allow himself that. You know that in Kronstadt there were 2 post offices. At that time it was a small town of 30,000. One post office for 30,000 people, another the same size for Father John alone. Because he was receiving thousands of letters. He had many secretaries, and he had no time absolutely to read letters, and the letters were very serious. So without opening a letter, he would tell a secretary, answer this, answer that, just pointing the letter. And they asked him, how could you know? He said the same thing, I don't know, but a thought which comes to me, I believe, is from God. And if I follow it, it is always right. How simple and how great.